Good morning. I don't know if you've heard of the YouVersion Bible, but it sends you a daily verse, and I just loved today. This verse kind of encapsulates in like one verse so many things that I think about the Lord and the way that He is my strength and my rear guard and my rock, my strong tower. So I'm going to go ahead and read it. But when I read it, I want you to take a moment and pick out like one of the phrases and think about how that applies to the Lord in your life. Don't just hear it, but let it go into your heart and let it become a reality to you today. This is Psalm 18:2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is our time to worship the Lord. What better thing to remind ourselves with that He is our salvation? We're going to celebrate and remember communion today and the Lord today in communion, focusing on His salvation, focusing on His broken body, focusing on His blood. That's how come all these things become alive in us now. I'm going to read it one more time. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Amen.
don't you get shy on me, lift up your soul, cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul. No, don't you get shy on me, lift up your soul, cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Come on, Jared.
Come on, my soul. No, don't you get shy on me, lift up your soul, cause you've got a lion inside.
Death is defeated.
this week, and I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery, and I raise a hallelujah if fear you lost your hold on me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise, death is defeated, the King.
Of blood, a crown of thorns.
change history. And as in your hands, the hands that saved me, the grave was sealed, and death lost its sting. So the lion roared in victory. Sacrifice, the change history. As the lion roared in victory, oh, oh, the cross, what you've done, it was more than enough, more than enough. Oh, the cross, what you've done, the power of your blood was more than enough. Oh, the cross, what you
about a week and a half ago, I said in my heart that we were going to do communion today. And Eric sends out, I think, the song list. Did you send it out yesterday? Yesterday. And I just saw the titles, and I didn't recognize one of the songs. It was The Cross. And so I had to try to figure out what song it was by Upper Room. So I sent it to Eric. I said, Eric, is this the song? And because that's the one. The Holy Spirit knew that we were doing communion today. We've never done this song before. We're going to go ahead and switch into family communion. Here's the style that we do communion. But I want to go ahead and share a little bit from the Word before I do. In John, make sure it's up there. John chapter 6, we have these two communications by Jesus to the people who were there at the time and then also to his disciples. And he's communicating to them this reality, this truth of who he is. And the people who were there saw the miracle the day before the feeding of the 5,000. And Jesus and his disciples leave that place, and all of these individuals came around the lake and were there the next day. And Jesus is saying to them, you know, you're not just here because of me, you're here because of the sign that you saw. And so he's communicating to them about this sign, and they want another sign. They want the sign like Moses did for the manna from heaven. And Jesus is trying to communicate to them in the limited way that they can understand that he truly is the bread from heaven. So we'll pick it up in verse 47. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes, you could say in me, has eternal life. Yes, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. Anyone who eats the bread from heaven, however, will never die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. And this bread, which I will offer so the world may live, is my flesh or my body. The Lord's telling him that this act that he's going to do on the cross, which they don't understand, and then that his body that was broken for them is going to be bread that they will eat that allow them to live forever. You know, we eat some oyster crackers here for our communion, but it's representing Jesus' body. It's not just an item that we use to remember the cross. It's an item that we use to remember who Christ is in our life. The people began arguing with each other about what he meant. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? They asked. Of course, they're thinking he's talking about cannibalism. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking in a supernatural way to them right now, and their natural understanding isn't grabbing it. Verse 53, so Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. That was pretty radical. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't have eternal life. But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise that person at the last day. Hallelujah. For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Remind yourself today as we take communion that as we're participating and having common union with the work of the cross in our lives, that it's part of how we stay connected to God. We remain in him and he remains in us. We're not just celebrating something that happened 2,000 years ago. Because the cross of Christ is eternal. So today when we participate with communion, it's as if it's happening in our lives afresh and anew. I live because of the living Father who sent me. In the same way, anyone who eats or feeds on me will live because of me. Praise the Lord. So our style here for communion is come on up and grab a cup and grab a piece of bread. Make sure they get it up on the platform, please. So on the last night that Jesus was with his disciples, he communicated this truth even further. You could say he took it to another level. When Jesus got done, I didn't finish it, but in verse 66, it says that many of his disciples left him after this. I don't know how many were left, but it wasn't as many that were following him before. But he told them even something more radical that night. He said, this is, and as he was taking the Passover meal with them, he said, this is my body that's broken for you. So it's almost like, I bet someone remembering, oh, this is what he was talking about in when we were by the river, by the lake, and the people were wondering who he was, and we were wondering what's going on. And we said, I don't know where else we're going to go, Lord. You're the one that has life. This is the new covenant in my blood. A new covenant, a new promise, a new life that you can live. So today when you take communion, if you've never taken communion before, if you've never had the eternal one living inside of you, just say, Lord, I receive you today. And we who have been walking with him a long time should remember that we're receiving him all afresh anew in our life. That's why we don't do communion all that much around here, because I want it every single time we do it to be something that we're remembering what Jesus did for us. We're remembering the life that he gave for us and the life that he then extends inside of us. Amen. Let's go ahead and take the bread. Thank you, Lord, for your broken body. Thank you, Lord, that you were broken so that we could be made whole. Whole and healthy, Lord, help living a divine health because of you. Whole, Lord, in our minds, Lord. Restored, Lord, from hurts and traumas of the past. Whole in our hearts, Lord, that have been broken because of our wayward lifestyle and the things that we participated in. We receive your wholeness today for us, spirit, soul, and body. Thank you, Jesus. A new covenant in his blood. It says, as often as we do what we're doing right now, we proclaim his death until he comes. I don't know when he's coming back, but it could be soon. Let's go ahead and take the drink. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done today in our lives afresh. Thank you, Lord, for the life of God that lives in each and every one of us. We receive you afresh and anew into our hearts and our lives, Lord. We receive the work of the cross as if it was the first time today. And we thank you, Lord, for our salvation. We thank you, Lord, for your delivering power that came and snatched us from the devil's hand and brought us into the light of the glorious gospel. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Harry.
Thank you for breaking the bread of your body, spilling the wine of your blood. Heart will sing forever. Thank you, breaking the bread of your body, spilling the wine of your blood. Thank you, my heart will sing forever. My heart will sing. makes me white as snow. Oh, no other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And go, no. Breaking the bread, body, spilling the wine, blood. Thank you, oh my heart will sing forever. Thank you for breaking the bread of your body, spilling the wine, blood. Thank you, oh my heart will sing.
Why don't we all just say thank you to God? You can say it quietly, you can say it loudly. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for being the one, Lord, that saved us. Thank you, Lord, for being the one that delivered us. Thank you, Jesus, for laying down your life for me. Thank you, Lord, for your love, Lord, that's been extended into my life and given me freedom to live, move, and have my being in you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son. Thank you for giving your only Son to us. Thank you, Jesus, for your body. Thank you, Lord, for your blood. We're so grateful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we'll be back in just a few. Greet someone, love on them. Thank you, team.
Good morning. Good morning. How is everybody today? Good. All right. So those of you who are new with us, right now we're doing getting ready to do declarations, which is where we get to speak life and authority over situations in our church. This one in particular, I chose the heart of the house today because it's like the heart of what we're doing here. I like to speak power into the things that we do here and what it is that we'd like to see for the Lord to move in. Amen? Amen. All right, I guess he's excited. So if you guys will stand with me and then together, in cadence, we'll begin. One, two, three. I declare
that God is building our church.
Yes, Lord, we thank you, Father, for this time that we get to be together. Father, I pray that you would just bless each and every heart that's here today. God, that we would just all receive little encounters with you, Father, setting our hearts ablaze and on fire for not only you, but the people that you've given us to be able to encounter as well, Jesus. Father, that as we go out and do our things today, Lord, that people who encounter us would want to know what's different about who we are. That they'd begin to ask questions and we'd have answers for them in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So coming up soon, you guys, I'm so excited. It's our annual chili cook-off. Woo! This is next Sunday, the 19th at 6 p.m. downstairs. So if you are wanting to contribute, like this is a really cool thing. Like this is your opportunity to show off your skill set and get your cook on. And if you like chili, we encourage you to come and sign up. Pastor, are they going to sign up with you or like... Okay, so he's going to send out a deal to where you guys can just text him and he'll know that you're entering in to be able to make a chili. The more chilies, the better, you guys. Like, we like variety. We like to have fun. It really is more of just, hi, guys. It really is for fun and for community. This is an opportunity for us to be able to be with each other, building relationship, and also, you know, ragging each other a little bit, kind of giving us a little crap for each other's chili, too. All in love. But I'm excited. Who all is excited for the chili cook-off? Woo! I think we need to dethrone. You agree? All right. So if you guys want a chance at the title and having your name on our trophy, I suggest that you get back to Pastor and sign up. Amen? All right. And then thank you for giving, you guys. Like, to tithe is such a beautiful thing, and we just appreciate when the Lord puts it on your heart to give, that he would bless each and every penny that you choose to give into the house, because what he's able to do with that is reaches further than we could ever give words for. And so we just want to thank you. You can go to onelifefamilyworship.com, click give, or if you're old-fashioned like myself, we have a little box up here up front where you can come and just drop it in. Okay. And then kids, if you have children here today that want to be able to go down to children's ministry, if I could have the kids come up here so we could pray over them. Yes. Yeah. Come on up. All right, Kate, Tegan, come here. Hi. Yeah. All right, if you guys will just extend your hands as I pray. Father, I thank you for each and every one of these little kids. Lord, we pray that as they go downstairs and they get to learn a little bit more about you, Father, that their hearts would just turn ablaze, God, that they would be blessed, that they would have joy abounding in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, thank you. Yes.
Praise the Lord. Good to see everyone here today. We're going to continue our journey through the parables. Well, I think we only have like five or six left, if you can believe it. I was going through saying, wow, I've done a lot of them. Sometimes I combine more than one parable together. And actually, I'm reusing one parable today, so don't hold that against me. It applies differently than I used it last time. But today, the title of the message is The Power of the Net. And that is not the power of the network or the power of the internet. This is the power of a physical net in one of Jesus' parables. And I wanted to, I'm going to go ahead and share a little story here. But so I'm going to get started in Matthew 13, 47 through 50. But I'm going to share a little something after I read verse 47. It's kind of a crazy story, funny story, and I think it might explain a little bit, at least how what fishing means to me. Verse 47 says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind." Some of every kind, some of every kind. So what do you think Jesus meant? Some of every kind of fish, right? Wouldn't you think? I mean, you probably wouldn't think like goldfish or anything like that, right? Because goldfish are living in a fishbowl. At least that's what we think. Or probably wouldn't think that it's going to be like a bird, right? Why would a bird be in a fishnet? Well, years ago, I went deep sea fishing. It was salmon, and we were on the Columbia River, and we were coming out of Elwaco. It was dark in the morning when I left with my friend, and we were on someone's boat, and we went out over the bar and into the ocean, and we were on not that big of a boat, and I was excited, you know, because this is like what a lot of people dream of. They're on the ocean, they're fishing for salmon, you know, and so they're showing me everything you need to do, and they got the pole for me and everything. So I was fishing most of the morning and not really catching anything. So it was getting to be about midday. And so I throw you put the bait on, I threw my pole out, and no sooner did my pole go out and the line went out and the fish hit the water that a seagull came down and grabbed my bait and held onto the bait in its mouth. Yeah. And got hooked. And so I'm sitting here and it's still flying. And so I'm sitting here like this. Jim DeBoer's like, "What did you do?" It's like, I just threw it out, you know. And he says, "I've never seen that before." And so I have to reel the thing in, you know, and we get it in the boat, and it's, you know, pooping all over the boat. And they finally get it out, and they let the bird go. And Jim's like, "Man, I've been fishing for years. I've never seen anything like that," you know. So we go on fishing. Another couple hours goes by. And no sooner did I throw it out there again, I don't know, the same stupid seagull, another gull grabbed my bait. And sure enough, Ben has taken off. And Jim's like, "What are you doing?" He calls me Lindell. "What are you doing, Lindell?" It's like, "I'm just fishing," you know. So yeah, some of every kind. I don't think it was birds. But the good news is that I caught the biggest king salmon that day. So I did redeem myself. Yeah. But yeah, your pastor has caught two gulls in the same day, and I don't know if anybody has that record, but I do. So, and verse 48, "Which when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth." So this is a parable about the net or the dragnet. And the idea of it is that the dragnet is the kingdom of God, bringing in souls and people and communicating to individuals. And some are really, really, really getting it. And some are getting really, really, really saved. And then others at the end are going to be like they never really did get it. And, you know, none of us really know anyone's heart. I like to believe that God's more desire for anyone else than me is that they would be saved. I think we looked a few weeks ago, it said they would have it that any would perish. That's God's heart, that none would perish. And so this idea of God separating the wicked from the just and then throwing the wicked into a place of wailing and gnashing of teeth. Again, I want to make this disclaimer. This is Jesus' words. These aren't mine. But that it's part of the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, as it says here. And so the power of the net, I would say, is that God is gathering. God is drawing. God is wanting all to come to repentance. And so this idea that God has a plan for your life and for my life is enfolded in this net. Years ago, someone shared the gospel with me. He was being used as a net to draw me in. He showed me, you know, and communicated to me the truths of what it means to be saved. He didn't ask me to be saved, but it was as if Jesus said to me that time, "Come follow me," and I started following him. I started being gathered into the net. And so at some point in the end of my existence here, I will be one of the ones that is separated. That's pretty crazy, isn't it? Let's go ahead and look at another part of another verse. This is Matthew 13, 24 through 30. This is another parable I've used before, but I'm going to apply it a little bit different this time. Here is another story or parable Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But that night as the workers slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat, then slipped away. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. The farmer's workers went to him and said, "Sir, the field where you planted the good seed is full of weeds. Where did they come from?" So, farmer, working his field, plants this beautiful seed, plants this crop that he's going to eventually harvest. And someone in the evening comes and sows weeds all through the field. Now, that would be kind of disheartening, wouldn't it? To be expecting, you know, some type of crop, and all of a sudden all these weeds are growing up around your crop. And so it goes on here and it says, "An enemy has done this," the farmer exclaimed. "Should we pull out the weeds?" they asked. "No," he replied. "You'll uproot the wheat if you do. Let both grow together until the harvest. Then I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, tie them into bundles and burn them, and to put the wheat in the barn." So this is one of his parables. He's talking to all the people that are listening, you know, when he is doing his ministry. And later on, the disciples who were on the inside wanted to know what was going on with this parable. So in Matthew 13, 36 through 43, we see, "Then leaving the crowds outside, Jesus went into the house. His disciples said, 'Please explain to us the story of the weeds in the field.' Jesus replied, 'The Son of Man is the farmer.'" So Jesus is the farmer who plants this seed, who plants the good seed. "The field is the world, and the good seed represents the people of the kingdom." So we're the good seed. If we've been harvested or planted by God, if the seed of God has been sown in us. And then it says, "The weeds are the people who belong to the evil one." So again, we're getting this idea of just and unjust or wicked or evil and good. "The enemy who planted the weeds among the wheat is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world, and the harvester are the angels." Just as the weeds are sorted out and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the world or the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will remove from his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. Notice this. I just thought it was so interesting that they will remove from his kingdom everything that causes sin. Not is sinful, but causes sin. That really like hit my heart. Lord, don't let me cause others to sin by my life. "And all who do evil. And the angels will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." Anytime Jesus says, "Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand," to me, that tells me to pay attention seriously to what he just communicated. In Matthew 7, we're kind of following this trail. So we see that the first parable was just about this net that caught all these different kinds of fish. And they're sorted out, and some are being kept for the good part of the kingdom, and others are just being cast away. Then we just saw here how the Lord is likening the seed that was planted, that is a good seed, and the seed that was planted, which was weeds, that also is this separation. So we're going to see now in this Matthew 7, 21 to 23, it's going to kind of dial in a little bit more about maybe what God's talking about here, or Jesus is talking about to his disciples. This one always freaks me out. I'm sorry. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven." What? You mean those who are saying, "Lord, Lord"? Not just Lord, Lord, Lord. Somebody who's really believing in him and believing in what he's done. "But he who does the will of my Father in heaven." So now
It's about doing the will of my Father. Remember, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll what? You'll keep my commandments. And his commandments aren't burdensome. And his commandments are written on our heart by the Holy Spirit. So what does that mean we have to do to keep his commandments? Just obedient to what the Holy Spirit puts on our heart. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Whoa, for charismatic, that's not good. Prophesied in your name? How about this one? Cast out demons in your name. That means they're displaying power. They're prophesying from the power of the Holy Spirit, it sounds like, or at least imitating doing that, and done many wonders in your name. So these are saying, we've done works in your name. And then I will declare to them, so this is Jesus, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Wow. I don't know about you, but is that sobering to anybody else? Makes you search your heart? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. To me, this is telling me we need to know God. We need to know Jesus. We need to have a relationship with him that's more than just a Sunday relationship. We need to have a relationship with him that's more than just reading our Bible. We need to have a relationship with him that he's alive in us, as we were declaring during communion, that he's alive in us, not just today because it's Sunday, but he's alive in us every day. And that we're listening to the work of the Holy Spirit in us, the Spirit of truth, of how to live this life of faith. Amen? Amen. Okay, now we're going to dial it in even some more. If you thought that was bad, get ready for this. It only gets better or worse, depending upon your point of view. Matthew 25, 31 through 46. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. So again, here's this idea of separation. Sheep on one side, goats on the other. Maybe his right hand's where the sheep are. Goats on the other. He will place the sheep at his right. There we go. Right hand, and the goats at his left. Anyone who's left-handed, don't take offense. But anyway, I'm left-handed. Then on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. Wow, just think about that. When God was creating the world, he was also preparing a kingdom for us. Just think about that. What else was at the creation of the world? The fall of man. He knew that. So he was preparing his kingdom even before man fell. It says that Jesus was slain before the foundations of the earth. When you took communion today, just think about this. You were participating with an eternal substance. It wasn't just a juice. It wasn't just a piece of bread. You were participating with this eternity that's in your heart already. Wow. You know what? You don't have to wait till Sunday to take communion either. If you're having a difficult day, or you're having a difficult week or a difficult month or maybe a difficult year, you can take communion at home. You can just say, Lord, as I've got this little cracker here and I've got this, maybe it's Mountain Dew. It doesn't matter what the substance is. It matters your faith in the substance and matters your faith in Christ. Take communion and just say, Lord, I receive once again afresh into my being that you are my God. And you are my deliverer, and you have saved me. Jesus goes on to say, for I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? Here's the rubber meeting the road right now. When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. I think it was a few weeks ago I was saying that when we hurt someone, it's as if we're hurting Jesus. This is the verse I was thinking about, and, you know, didn't know the exact, and Tim was looking all over for the exact one. This is the thought here, is we're doing good as if we're doing to Jesus. And I'm sure as if we're doing evil to people, as if we're doing it to Jesus. Because when we do something to a brother and sister, good or bad, is as if we're blessing or cursing the Lord. That's a heavy thought. Then the king will turn. So see, we have a separation of the sheep right now. This is why the sheep have been declared sheep. Yes, they've received the Lord and they've received him in their life, but they've also lived a life reflecting that salvation. They've cared for others. They've given them clothing. They've visited them when they're in prison. So the king will turn to those on the left and say, "Away with you, you cursed ones, into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his demons." Again, this is Jesus' words, not mine. "For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me." Then they will cry, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you?" And he will answer, "I tell you the truth, when you refuse to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me." And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. So we have choices to make as believers when we have opportunities to bless a brother and a sister, or to bless maybe a stranger, maybe someone that is just come across your path and you know that the Holy Spirit's inviting you to participate as a blessing to them. John says something radical in the book of John, or 1 John. He says something like, if we love God, we won't sin. And when I read that, I'm like, what? What do you mean by that? Well, the thing is if we're in love with God, we're not going to do things that hurt him. I look at my wife. I'm in love with my wife. I don't do things to hurt her on purpose. Sometimes us guys can be pretty dense and we can hurt our wives not meaning to. But I don't ever want to do it on purpose because I love her. In the same way we should be with the Lord. We love him. First loved us, right? He demonstrated his love by hanging on the cross, by giving us his body and his blood. He's shown us that he wants us. Now, what do we say back? We say, Lord, we love you. And hopefully because we love him, we live for him. And we live like he wants us to live, keeping his commandments. Whoops, hello. Yeah. Luke 5, 1 through 11. "So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw some boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets." So now we're going to see the application of the nets being used by God. "Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's," this is later going to be called Peter, "and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' But Simon answered and said to him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.'" See, they were working all night in their own strength. They were working all night to accomplish something that they needed for their livelihood, and that was to catch fish. But notice that it's when the Lord gave the command And we'll see that the power of that command, when obeyed, produces something. So when we have the Holy Spirit guiding us and leading us and telling us to do things, when we go into those things in faith, realizing God's told us to, guess what? Supernatural things happen. A catch happens. The power of the net is activated. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. Wouldn't that be so amazing if the body of Christ started being so obedient to the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives that we started causing churches to bust at the seams? We started causing Bible studies to bust at the seams. We started causing the schools to fill with students that are hungry for God and not just hungry for the next TikTok. It can happen. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. So Simon realized this was a miracle. He told us to cast our net out and didn't bring back anything all night. And now it's so much fish that we can't even contain it. It's busting our nets. He realizes that this person that is before him is somebody very powerful. I don't think he totally realizes he's Messiah at this time, but he realizes that this one is from God and that he carries the power of God with him. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, just keep in mind, Jesus right now is looking down at Simon. Simon's fallen on his knees. He's humbled himself. And he's asking Jesus to depart from him because he's a sinful man. He probably cusses like a sailor or a fisherman. He probably has done things that are not righteous and not holy, and that he should not be in the presence of this one. Now look what Jesus does, though. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." To me, saying, "Don't be afraid, Simon." Some will say, well, Jesus was calling him a fisherman. No, he was calling him a net. From now on, you're going to be a net, Simon. From now on, you're going to bring not just one. You know, we catch one fish at a time with a fishing pole. You're going to bring him instant dragnet. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. That's powerful. Left all that they had to follow Jesus. I want to finish with this last story from the book of John, chapter 4. And this is the woman at the well. And she was communicating back and forth with Jesus, these first 20-something verses. Jesus is saying, "Hey, give me a drink." And, "What are you talking to me for? I'm a woman, and not just a woman, I'm a Samaritan." And so she starts talking about the well, and she starts talking about where to worship. And Jesus says, "No, you're not going to just worship on a hill. You're not going to worship in a palace. You're not going to worship just in a temple. God's looking for his temple of people to live in. And they will worship him in spirit and in truth." And so he ends up telling her to go get her husband. And she says, "Oh, I don't have a husband." He says, "You're right. You're the man you're living with isn't your husband right now, and you've had 5 husbands." And she perceives he's a prophet and maybe even Messiah. So she says this, the woman said to him in verse 25, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." And at this point, his disciples came. They had gone into Samaria to get lunch. And they marveled that he had talked with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? So they were thinking this, but no one said anything. The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. This woman at the well, who was at the well at this time because of her lifestyle, Jesus told her that he had rivers of living water for her. She realized that he must be at least a prophet. This could be the Messiah, the way that he's talking. And she went into the town and became a net. And she started affecting all of these people. And the way that this sounds, it sounds like most of the town went out to see him because of what she said. But then, and many of the Samaritans, so as many of the city, believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. So they believed in him because of her word. She was a net. Do you know, there could be people in your life right now, they're going to believe in Jesus because of your word. It could happen. God's no respecter of persons. If this worked for the Samaritan woman, do you think it could work for you? I love the scripture in Psalms. It says, open your mouth and he will fill it. Yeah. It means that you don't always have to rely on, you know, studying how do I talk to somebody about Jesus. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth that lives in you, can speak through you. Amen? He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. The power of the net. You can point at you when you say that, the power of the net, because you are a net. Not just a fisherman, you're a net. There may be individuals that you are still collecting in your net right now that you don't realize. And you may be just having individuals watch your life that you don't realize, and you're being a net. They're saying, is this really real, what these individuals are saying about God, what this individual is saying about God? He seems to not be, or she seems to not be shaken when things in the world take place. When I start getting fear in my heart, they seem to be secure. What is it that they have? And they may ask you, and you can tell them that what you have is Jesus. And that he gave himself for you and to you. You're not afraid of what's going to come tomorrow because he lives in you. And you know, because you're his, he's got tomorrow. Isn't that good news? Father, we thank you for the power of the net. And we thank you that someday, Lord, because of your grace in our lives, we can be those sheep that are on your right hand. We can be the ones, Lord, that are shining like the sun in your kingdom. But Lord, if there's areas in our heart, there's things in us, Lord, that are crooked and our paths aren't straight, correct us, Lord. Help us, God, to be, Lord, those ones on your right. There's any wicked way in us, as David prayed in 139. Search us, Lord. And when we find it, when you reveal it to us, help us repent. Help us change our ways. Help us turn. And help us live this life as you've called us to live it. You You didn't sacrifice your life for us just to live to our own pleasing, Lord. You've requested and commanded us to take up our cross daily and follow you. So help us do that, Lord, with faith and confidence that you'll be the one leading us as we carry our cross. In Jesus' name. Is everyone who hangs on a tree. Jesus became a curse so we could be the righteousness of God. As the righteousness of God, that gives us the power to live a righteous life. Amen. 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 Go and be light to this world. Love you.